Warner has arranged a digital-only release for Scoob, which was due in theatres on May the 15th. Paramount has sold The Lovebirds to Netflix. Even Disney, which does better at the box office than any other studio, has decided to put Artemis Fowl on its Disney Plus streaming service, skipping the cinema. These decisions were all provoked by the pandemic, but studios were already under pressure to provide content for the streaming services launched by their parent companies. When Netflix is commissioning hits and putting them online immediately, Disney cannot serve up a diet of months-old films. Hence, features like its remake of Robin Hood, which in the past might have got an outing at the cinema, are going straight to Disney+. This year's Oscars will admit streaming-only films in what the Academy insists is a COVID-induced one-off. But last year's Best Picture nominations included two Netflix films, The Irishman and Marriage Story, that had minimal theatre runs. It isn't yet time for the credits to roll for the cinema. This year's biggest titles, from James Bond to Wonder Woman, have been postponed rather than put online. Universal itself has delayed the latest in its Fast and Furious series until next April. Given that previous Furious films have taken as much as $1.2 billion at the worldwide box office, it cannot afford to miss a theatre run. But increasingly, cinematic releases make sense only for the biggest blockbusters. Studios have realized that betting heavily on a few expensive tent poles brings in more money than placing lots of smaller stakes. Blockbusters' marketing costs are proportionately lower than those of middling movies, and shelling out for globally famous stars makes it easier to sell a film internationally. With cinema attendance in decline in America, titles must sparkle to be one of the few that people bother going to see, and so ever greater rewards are accruing to the biggest hits. Last year, the five highest-grossing films took a quarter of the domestic box office, nearly double the top five's share in 2000. Critics complained that the emphasis on event movies is making studios tediously conservative about what they greenlight. All of America's 10 most successful films last year were part of a series like Avengers Endgame or remakes like The Lion King. That was the case for only two of the top 10 in 2000, and what Hollywood produces, the rest of the world watches. Last year's global top 10 was almost identical to America's. In truth, studios won't stop making lower-budget features. Apart from anything else, they need to try out new actors and new ideas. It wasn't always obvious that comic book adaptations would be money spinners, but increasingly the tiddlers will go straight to streaming. All this is only a continuation of television's century-long siphoning of content away from the cinema. Movie theatres were once the home of all types of video. From the 1950s, TV nabbed news, cartoons and serials, leaving cinemas with only feature films. Now streaming is sucking up many of those too, so that the theatre is a place to visit just for event movies. Something is being lost. An evening at home with Netflix isn't quite the same as a night at the Ocala, reflects Mr. Watsky. People may enjoy a film just as much on TV, but if they see it at the drive-in, it's a memory.